Hello and welcome to episode number 29 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Keith Devon.
And with me, Mark Wilkinson. How are you this week, Keith?
I'm all right.
How's the back?
Well, it's slowly getting better. So I went to the physio yesterday, 2 days ago.
Yep.
And turns out he thinks that I have a herniated disc, also known as a bulge disc or a slipped disc in my lower spine. So
Ouch. Sounds
horrific, and it can be. Loads of people have them and never know, apparently.
Right.
It's just something that happens, especially as you get a bit older. And it can cause a lot of serious problems. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Hopefully he prescribed strength and stretching work, which is basically what everyone has prescribed to me for any ailment I've ever had when I've gone to a physiotherapist. Strength and stretching.
Work hard.
So I'm going to try whenever I'm able to pick up yoga again, start doing some fairly regular yoga.
Hopefully it'll work. Hopefully.
Yeah. But it's getting there. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm a bit stiff from a run yesterday, my first run after COVID. But I managed
Listen
to get around.
State of
just,
us.
A little, just a little trot around the block. But yeah, it was all right. So yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
Good.
What are we chatting about in today's episode, Keith? I believe you have the list.
I have got a list. We put out a call for questions, for audience questions earlier, and we got a few good ones.
Excellent.
So I've got three questions, and then stuff around boilerplate, like Gutenberg block kind of boilerplates. Stuff around when you send a proposal, how do you justify your value, which I think is a really good question. There's a question about, it's kind of a bit similar to the previous one in terms of boilerplating. So yeah, maybe we'll cover both those at the same time. And then I wanted to talk about how we define success. How we personally define it and some of the other ways that other people might define it. I think it's a really interesting question, so we can come to that as well.
Absolutely. If you're watching along on YouTube live, then feel free to say hello. Tony's just said hello. So hi there, Tony. Thanks for tuning in. And let's get stuck into it, I guess. And if you've got any questions for those that are joining us, then stick them in the comments. Maybe we'll see if we can get to them.
Yeah.
So question one.
Well, okay. So question one was from Dorian. And I assume it's a he. But Dorian says, if you were new to Gutenberg stroke blocks, what would be your approach to having a boilerplate set up to build from? Would you build all of your blocks from scratch, use something like co-blocks or something in between? So I think
it's a good question.
Dorian specifically asking about building custom blocks. Do you read that differently?
Asking about just building sites with blocks.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm glancing over here because it's on my screen over here. And how do you go about building sites with blocks? That's how I understood that to be.
Okay.
Not necessarily custom blocks. There may be some custom blocks involved, of course, but not necessarily custom blocks. But
yeah,
I hope I'm right. So I think from my point of view, do we have a boilerplate? We have a theme that we kind of start with, but that handles core blocks, doesn't it, I suppose, in terms of outputting basic styles for core blocks, I think.
Yeah.
You build
obviously the basic styles for core blocks are output
by
WordPress.
Yeah. So there's that. I think from my point of view, though, the key takeaway here that I've learned and we've learned over the past few months, years, is core blocks will get you a long, long way in what you want to achieve. So try and use core blocks as much as you can, in which case you don't need to build custom blocks. So you don't really need any sort of build tools to get started here. And combine those with block patterns when you want to create layouts that you want to reuse. you can create patterns that make that sort of complex task of, you know, using the editor to create this funky layout, maybe with some custom classes and specific settings on different blocks, create a pattern for that so that that's easily done in the future. And only use a custom block when you absolutely have to, which is what we tend to do nowadays. And in terms of how we do that, we still use advanced custom fields for creating our custom blocks. Not really got into creating what you might call native blocks as such in sort of like JavaScript or so forth. It's just not something that I'm comfortable with at the moment and have the knowledge skills to do, really. So that would be my approach to that. Boilerplate. I mean, I've got a plugin that I have now that I just kind of use and copy and change when I want to create a block. But there's nothing, there's nothing sort of automated about that at all. It's more of a manual, just grab that bit of code, change this bit, grab this bit of code, change that bit. So I probably, you know, should automate these things, but it's just not me, I'm afraid, at the moment.
Yeah,
that's my approach. What about the theme then? And what does that do or not do?
So our theme does a bunch of stuff. I don't know if it's relevant to the question, really. I kind of want to cover our theme at some point in a video. Our boilerplate theme. It's more a useful structure for us.
Okay.
In terms of splitting between like what we reuse on every project, we put those in core files, and what is specific to that project, which we put in project files. There's loads of custom variables that I use all over the place. So that's a much bigger question. I just want to come back to Dorian's question. He touches on, he says, or use something like coblocks. So I think he's talking about block libraries there, like third-party blocks. Yep. We don't really have any experience with those yet. I know a friend of mine, Nick, uses generate blocks. And that gives you like, I've got the website open actually. So it gives you some things like a container block, a grid block, images, headlines, buttons. I'm assuming it does buttons and images slightly differently than
basics. You already got those,
But I think it adds like some extra controls, extra flexibility around some of those core blocks, and there's potentially others as well in there. So there's some, he's had a lot of success with generate blocks. It's generateblocks.com. There's coblocks like Dorian mentions, and then I think there's a lot of plugins now that just have like single blocks, like they're not block libraries, they're just like a block that does a specific thing. Like Gravity Forms has its own block now, for instance, which is
With things like generate blocks and coblocks, I don't think you should just dive straight to use them, because surely you're using them because you need them to do X or Y or Z, and therefore, it's like I said, use core blocks until you can't get any further, I think.
It's a chicken and egg thing, though, because they might be brilliant. Like, generate blocks might be absolutely brilliant and would solve loads of our problems. We just don't know it because we've never used it. So I think it'd be pretty useful to go and explore what's out there. I do get what you mean, though. That's certainly our approach, is to get as far as we can with the native kind of core functionality. But I don't know. That was a kind of a wide-ranging question. Hopefully we've done something to answer that. So Tony had an overlapping question. He said, I've just started a new site and decided to go block theme based. I've created a child theme under Brixy. And now copying across various HTML templates, PHP patterns, and HTML parts, and modifying as I go. Is this the correct approach? And any tools that might help? So I haven't used Brixy, so I don't actually know what it does. Like what does Brixy give you, Tony, out of the box? That would kind of be interesting to know. Like, is it loads and loads of patterns and loads of block styles? And like, what is the theme actually doing for you? it says you say you're copying across PHP patterns and parts and things, so it sounds like it's giving you a lot of that stuff. It sounds like a good approach to me. Again, I haven't used Brixy, and I don't think we've used a child theme yet with a block based theme, Mark. I don't think. I'm pretty sure we haven't. So I'm not actually sure how the whole parent child theme dynamic works with block themes. So that's
just
yeah.
the same, isn't it? Is there?
I think so, but there's things like theme JSON and like how does that work? And yeah, there's a few new parts that I wouldn't necessarily know how they work between parent and child themes. But what I would say, Tony, is it sounds like a good approach. Like, it's certainly the approach that I used a decade or more ago whenever I started getting into WordPress. You know, taking a theme, creating a child theme, and just hacking away by copying things and modifying things. So it sounds like a good approach to me. Certainly using parent-child relationship has always seemed like a good idea in terms of, you know, you're not fundamentally breaking something that you might need to update later and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, sounds good. And I think in terms of like best practices and approaches at the minute, it's open season. Like, who knows what the best practices are right now, because I think everyone's learning. You'll notice that not a lot of people are blogging. Well, not that I can find, and talking about the best way to do X and Y today, because there isn't, like, we haven't established those best practices and standards yet, because things are so new and so fresh. So yeah, definitely best of luck with it. Anything to add there, Mark, on any of that? It's more my territory, I think. But
yeah, I've got to confess, I can't remember the question. It was so long and I don't have it in front of me, so you'd have to read it out to me again.
No, that's okay. So Tony was using Brixy theme, and then he's created a child theme, and he's copying across like HTML templates and patterns and things like that.
Okay.
And just modifying them.
I was going to say copying them across and modifying them, because if it's using a parent and child relationship, you wouldn't need to copy them across if you're not modifying them.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. So yeah. That's good. If you're going to make changes, you want to be doing it on a child theme. So yeah. As far as that's concerned.
And you'll probably learn a lot. If Brixy is a well-built theme, and I have heard of the theme, I haven't used it. Can't remember who makes it. If that is a well-built theme, then you probably will be picking up quite a few good practices, whether they're best practices or not. It remains to be seen. But yeah, I think that sounds like a great approach. Should we move on to our next question?
Yeah, I think so.
So the next one is from Sam. And Sam writes, when quoting for websites, how do you explain / justify your value? For example, you build websites bespoke within the Gutenberg editor versus an agency that uses a $50 theme, heavy plugins and page builder. Is this important to mention in a proposal? So a couple of things here. So I think what Sam's saying is agencies like us, and I'm assuming like his, do, you know, bespoke work that potentially takes a lot longer than someone who just installs something cheap and configures a few things and installs a few plugins and all that kind of thing. And how do you explain or justify your value?
So I would throw the question back to Sam and say, why don't you use a $50 theme from wherever you might use a $50 theme from?
Yeah.
Because you will have reasons that you don't use that theme, and they are probably the reasons why you're adding more value to your client by not using that theme. So what you then need to do is you'd need to turn those reasons into more client-focused speak, because they might be sort of technical developer reasons that the client won't understand. So you'd probably want to try and highlight the fact that, you know, in a more, in a more sort of client-focused language. For example, you know, one of them could be summarized by greater flexibility, for example, you know, that the fact that you're building a theme that you can do anything with rather than being, you know, stuck with this scaffolding from another theme, that sort of thing. But I think the reasons why you're not using the $50 theme, I assume they're not using the $50 theme, I don't know, but the reasons why you're not using that theme are your reasons or your justification as to why you're providing better value. And it's about articulating those to the client as such. Anything to add?
No, I think that's a really clever way to look at it. I think it's important to remember that value is it's kind of in the eye of the purchaser, not the seller. So we don't, as sellers, as vendors, we don't set the value. We set the price, and someone else determines whether that's of value to them or not. So we don't know what the value of our product is to a potential vendor. We know what the benefits are. We can work out, if you're really clever and if you do the kind of whole value-based pricing kind of why conversations, you could probably start to establish like some kind of ballpark as to what their value might be, you know, especially if you're working on something like e-commerce.
But it's also our job to inform the client of the benefits then, and they can determine the value.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. I was about to say what we're doing is talking about benefits.
Yeah, benefits.
You can try to talk about value, but you can't talk about value until you understand someone's problems and their organization and their revenues and their, because it's all tied into that. So you can't, you know. So the wording here is actually really important.
What I would say to Sam is that if you're competing with other agencies that are offering solutions that have got $50 themes in them and yours isn't, is your marketing finding the right clients? Because what you really want is that people that contact you and engage with you in an inquiry, that you've already filtered out the people that don't want to use a $50 theme, because that's why they've come to you. So yep. I think that's something to think about as well. If you're having to justify too much as to why you're not using a $50 theme, maybe the client doesn't realize that from your marketing material on your website or whatever. I would hope that clients that come to us kind of already know that's not what we do. We build sites bespokely, and they know that when they actually fill in the contact form. So something mm-hmm. else to look at there as well, to try and filter them out before you even get to that stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's good. Hopefully that helps. I don't know if I've got too much more to add on. It's a big topic. It's a really big topic, that. Yeah.
A couple of comments from Derek there in the comments. If you can put them on the screen. He said, themes are built for everyone. Custom build solves your client's specific problems and needs. So that's that's an easy way of explaining things in a way. If you can pad that out and talk more detail about that, what you can specifically solve and why a $50 theme won't solve that problem. When you buy a theme off wherever you buy it from, it's for everyone, isn't it? It's got everything for everyone. And that can have negative impacts for some sites.
So for example, I think like the approach that Sam's talking about there is that kind of third party everything versus something a bit more custom. And like Mark says, like if you can think about, well, what are the core differences between a third party everything type website and something a bit more custom and bespoke? There could be things like stability. You know, you're not using loads and loads of plugins to achieve everything, hopefully. You don't have a kitchen sink style theme in there, so hopefully future updates and compatibility issues will, you know, all that stuff will be made a lot easier. And if you can find clients that care about that, then great. You know, content editing may be a lot easier if you do things a bit more bespoke rather than like just throwing everything at it. Again, it just comes down to benefits and trying to find the types of clients that share those values and appreciate those benefits, I think.
Yep.
So there's one more tweet that I saw this week that I liked. This was from Sam Munoz. Apologies, Sam, if I've mispronounced your name. I think Sam is a developer advocate at WP Engine, I believe. And she says, how do you define success in your WordPress business? In other words, When is it enough? When do you rest and enjoy the fruits of your labor as you work? Go to you first.
Good question. I'm going first, am I? So success to me isn't necessarily financial success, actually. There is an element of financial success because there has to be to sort of live.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if I've got what I need in my family life, etc., then there doesn't need to be any more, almost, in terms of financials. You know, are we healthy? Are we happy? Are we got a house? Are we able to do things we want to do? Then that's kind of good enough. And then also, I think, like, healthy and happy, as I said, you know, like, is stress levels not too high? Is am I enjoying doing what I'm doing? You know, do I get up and get on and enjoy it? I think that's also success.
Yeah.
But yeah, it depends on you. But that's for me anyway. What success is?
My answer to Sam was very, very similar. It's probably one of the reasons we kind of are quite compatible as business partners. It's because we share that kind of mindset. So I said, success equals a healthy mind. For me, I know if I'm being successful or not based on the state of my mental health. If I'm overly stressed about money, deadlines, workload, clients, etc., then I'm not currently successful. I think for me, that is the absolute metric. So if I'm like stressed about not seeing my daughter enough or not spending enough, not having enough family time, then I know I'm not being successful. If I'm stressed about money, I know I'm not being successful. If I'm stressed about the workload or some client that's like giving us a hard time, I don't think I'm being successful there. So I think we kind of share that. It's interesting though. I want to just challenge the both of us on one point though that you made, Mark. So you talked like, and Sam kind of had it in her question, like when is it enough? And I think she's talking about like maybe finances, but like at which point has the business done what it needs to do? And actually you would just stop and say, okay, I don't need to work anymore. I'll actually start working less and taking more free time or whatever. So for example, I think we're making more money than we did last year in the business, but we're not working less. So is there a point for you that you would think, actually, that's enough money, so I'm going to start reducing my hours instead of trying to make more money?
That's a good question. And the answer to that for me is probably no at the moment. Well, it's no and yes. Like, I like to play golf, as you may know, listening to this podcast. So I like to be able to have an afternoon where I go and play golf, which I currently do anyway. But that doesn't mean to say I work less, actually. I just do that time other times of the week. But I think I want to make sure that I've got enough financial, backing so that I can retire at 55 or whatever. And it seems I don't know what the word is. It's not silly, but why I would turn down work and finances now that I know I can get that I might need later on. Whereas if I turn them down now, would they turn up later on, if that makes sense? So that's why I don't think I'd stop, even though finances are, like you say, increasing slightly.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that when I reach an age where I think I don't need to do this anymore and I can actually just stop.
I like it. So you've reached the point now where you've hit that level of kind of comfort, like your day-to-day needs are covered.
Yes.
And now you're working to make your future better. Yeah,
definitely.
I like that.
Yes. Yeah. And there'll be loads of people who argue that, well, you don't know what your future is going to be. You know, you might get hit by a bus tomorrow, or your miss might happen, and yeah, they're right. So, but there always is a balance, I think. You know, I mean, I've got children. It's about making their lives easier as well, as much as I can. And I think right now, if we've got stuff we can be doing that helps that situation out in the future, it would seem silly to turn it away and say, well, we'll do it in the future rather than doing it now. But that's just my philosophy, I think. But people are different and do what your gut says, I think, you know.
Yeah. I think the other thing for me is I actually enjoy what we do.
Yeah.
Like most of the time I really enjoy work and I want to do this. Like I get up in the morning and I'm quite happy to come to my desk and I look forward to the challenges and, you know, there's sometimes when it's not so much fun, but the majority of the time it is good. It's fun. And I like doing it. And I think I wouldn't want to just cut it out of my life anyway, but I think there's probably a point like, you know, I'd love to do a few more cycles. I'd love to, there's things I could fill my time with for sure. Like if I could cut things down to 30 hours a week or something like that, that'd be really nice. But I do think your approach to once you've covered the present, start thinking about the future a bit more is really good. Mm. Yeah.
It's also worth saying as well, you mentioned about stress and that sort of thing. I think you've got to take a view on that in the longer term. Like you said, there's always going to be days where you come in and there's something that's stressful, but it's whether that's happening day after day after day after day after day.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I think sometimes if everything's rosy all the time, you're probably not doing things, trying new things and doing things differently and pushing the boundaries to try and, you know, whereas, so I think a little bit of stress is fine, but it's, you can't have it all the time. So you can't have it day after day after day. And I think that's where the balance lies for me anyway.
Yeah. Very good. I think we should wrap it up. Anything else to add, Mark?
No, just the usual. If you've enjoyed the video, hit the like button. That'd be nice. And subscribe if you haven't subscribed. It would be awesome. We've actually got, I think we just passed 1,700 subscribers, I think, which is amazing.
Pretty cool.
Just for making some videos that we enjoy doing.
Yeah. And I think we should do some more tutorial-based videos on the channel soon as well. I've got, like I said, I want to kind of demo my theme structure.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I'm sure there's some stuff that we've learned on recent projects that we should tell people about and teach people. So yeah.
Yep, for sure.
Keep an eye on the channel and until next time, have a good week.
Bye-bye.